As I mentioned in the introduction this morning to our service, that the sermon time today, I'm going to read an essay by the Reverend Andrew J. Abraham, who's the pastor at Shepherd of the Hills, Crossville. And the essay is entitled, or is titled, Being Christian During Pride Month. And it begins in this way. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. A quote from Paul of Tarsus. If we were to compress the history of our Christian religion into a 24-hour period, the modern rejection of the church's teaching on homosexuality and transgenderism would be discernible only in the last 60 seconds. Yet the pressure on Christians to abandon what has been upheld and believed throughout the centuries is absurdly immense. Note to the reader, and I would say for today the hearer, the word absurd will be used frequently in this essay. The chorus demanding the whole culture reverse its beliefs on homosexuality and transgenderism seems to have no patience at all for what countless generations prior to our own believed and upheld. Nor do they care what is taught by the inspired and authoritative Word of God or the apostolic tradition of the church. Any kind of theological discussion or debate is ruled out. Even the medical community is being forced to uphold same-sex attraction and transgenderism as normal and consistent with good mental health. The message bombarding the hapless passerbys on the streets of America is that everyone, even Christians of all varieties, simply must go along with this brand spanking new and decidedly unbiblical view of sexual orientation. As a seasoned, ordained Christian pastor committed to the unchanging truths of the sacred scriptures, I offer my full disclosure that I believe homosexuality and transgenderism is sinful and inconsistent with God's vision for humanity. I don't apologize for that belief, and neither should anyone whose moral convictions are shaped by God's holy word. However, this essay is not an attack on those who have same-sex attraction. It is rather an encouragement to Christians who feel the caustic bullying presently taking place in our society and the tsunami of LGBTQ plus messaging that will be crashing down on all of us throughout the month of June. In short, it is unacceptable and should not be tolerated. While it is certainly Christian to be patient, kind, understanding, and willing to turn the other cheek, it is not wrong for Christians to be assertive and uncompromising in the face of modernity's absurd expectation that we simply abandon the scriptures and 2,000 years of rich Christian tradition. Further, it is quite damnably rude for anyone to think that Christians owe it to society to embrace ideas that are flatly contrary to the biblical worldview. Now, some will say, as it is commonly said in our modern culture, that if Jesus were alive today, he would support gay marriage. Astonishingly, even President Jimmy Carter once made this claim. First, Jesus is alive today. And by the abundant outpouring of the Holy Spirit, he continues to watch and assume supreme headship over his church. Second, there is zero evidence in the sacred scriptures that Jesus assumed a view of marriage different from what is taught in both the Old and New Testaments. Yet there is ample evidence that Jesus' view of marriage coincided perfectly with what was received from Yahweh in the Old Testament and taught by his apostles in the New Testament. Jesus, in fact, is Yahweh. And as Yahweh in the flesh, he stated his view on marriage and the two genders in very plain and non-ambivalent terms. Jesus answered, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh?' So they are also no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." Matthew 19, verses 4 through 6. Still, this point has been countered by some who say Jesus could not support gay marriage or the homosexual lifestyle outwardly because the world was not ready for it. Again, such an idea is also absurd to the extreme. The basic assertion being made is that Jesus really did support the gay lifestyle and gay marriage, but chose to say nothing for fear of unpopularity or upsetting his contemporaries. He therefore withheld this one particular truth under the assumption that Christians would somehow figure it out on their own 2,000 years later and without the aid of his holy word. What? Is such an absurd suggestion even close to being plausible? As anyone who has ever read the Gospels can clearly see, Jesus created massive controversy in multiple ways and in multiple settings throughout his earthly ministry. He was never concerned about his popularity ratings in society, and he always knew that he would suffer a horrible death on the cross. Not only that, but Jesus came into the world as God's truth incarnate, and would never withhold anything that makes us wise for salvation, as he clearly promised at his Last Supper. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." John 14, verse 6. It should be further understood that it is especially insulting and repugnant to impose one's own wishful thinking on any figure in history for the sake of advancing an agenda completely foreign to that person. That said, let me be clear. Jesus did not in any way express support for gay marriage or the gay lifestyle. Rather, he was totally consistent with the ethics and the moral teaching on homosexuality as it is found in his own Jewish tradition. The mere suggestion of Jesus stepping out of sync with the moral teachings of the Jewish tradition of his day is total absurdity. June has become known to our modern society as Pride Month. Americans now on their respective cable packages will be offered scores of movies celebrating gay marriage and the homosexual lifestyle. Americans will be treated to rainbow flags lavishly on display in stores and public arenas. Professional athletes will don pride patches on their hats and jerseys, so that spectators can be given the false impression that each of our greatest sports heroes wants and expects everyone to go along with this trendy new thing. It's called Pride Month, but it should be called Shaming Christians Month, because that's the real purpose behind the godless bombast about to be heaped on us. The real purpose is to make those who do not agree feel deeply ashamed for believing in traditional marriage and for daring to assume that transitioning from one gender to another is patently absurd, totally impossible, and indicative of mental illness. June is that month of the year when those who support homosexual lifestyle, gay marriage, and transgenderism dramatically step up their fierce insistence that everyone else blindly share their views and embrace their woke ideology. Dialogue and debate on such things will not be permitted. In our country, we believe strongly in the sacred principle of freedom of speech. So the bombast is not for us to fight through the legal recourse unless rights are truly being violated. Yet there are ways for you to assert your cherished beliefs while sustaining your Christian bearing. For instance, when confronted with an ungodly agenda on social media, just simply say, "I'm sticking to those things that the Bible teaches," full stop. Please be careful, however, when addressing individuals you don't actually know, or you might be courting danger. When you are visiting a store you tend to frequent and you find the gay pride flag adorning the entry, the aisles, the uniforms of the employees, just turn around and go to a store that respects you and doesn't try to influence your views in any way. Spend your money in places more deserving of your hard-earned resources. Of course, it goes without saying that Bible-believing Christians should avoid gay pride parades and gatherings of every kind unless they are there to share God's law and gospel, in which case they should never go alone. If ever by being true to Christ and the scriptures you are buffeted by the barbs of others, remember St. Stephen, who said as he was being stoned, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." From Acts 7, verse 60. The fact is, Americans are free to be Christian, though there is a growing movement in our nation that would like to push away Christianity into total irrelevancy. The voices of those tolerant of our biblical views are getting louder and meaner, just as the bullying to which Christians are being subject is getting fiercer. The words bigoted, heartless, insensitive, antiquated, cruel, abusive, ignorant, and hateful are all being applied to Christians who refuse to go the way of the world on these issues. Dear fellow believers of Christ, we can't let that bother us. We have to remain absolutely resolved in our hearts that we will never be ashamed of Christ or the apostolic tradition which has been handed down to us by countless generations who, when under the enormous pressure to embrace worldly falsehoods, remain faithful to Christ and the Bible. So, even if everyone around you has nothing but contempt for you and your unwavering faithfulness to the Bible's moral teachings on all matters, including homosexuality and all that weird, crazy alphabet stuff, just remember you are standing alongside the Savior himself, the very same who gave us in plain language his own view of marriage, and by doing so, reasserted the divine vision for unity between a man and a woman. Lastly, fellow redeemed, remember to be compassionate toward all, forgiving toward all, loving toward all, and generous toward all. Do not add to the world's aggression and hostility. It is worthless to be angry towards those who cannot find it within themselves to share in our Christian way of life. It is far better for all that we should simply pray for those outside of our fold and represent Christ well in our dealings with them. We hope that someday the gospel would reach them so that they would be turned and live. Amen.